Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So the text for this morning's message is our gospel reading from Mark chapter 1, and our focus this morning is going to be on verse 27. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Let's pray together. Lord God, Heavenly Father, how wonderful it is to gather, either in person or online, to hear your word, the good news of your Son, Jesus. Send your Holy Spirit to work through this word, to work faith in our lives, and work love toward others. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is the third week of a four-week series for Epiphany called I Bring You Good News. And what we're doing is we're kind of looking at evangelism, sharing the good news with others, but through the lens of the words that Jesus spoke in the synagogue of Nazareth when he fulfilled this prophecy from Isaiah, "The Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." And we're looking at it specifically through those words. So last week, we looked at how we bring good news of truth, so giving sight to the blind. This week, we're looking at setting the captives free and how we bring good news of freedom to people. Now, when we hear the word freedom, in a way, it can kind of feel anticlimactic. Because after all, we have a lot of freedom, don't we? In fact, this is the country that we live in. This is what we were founded upon, this freedom that we have. Just take a look at the first article of the Bill of Rights, and you see some of the freedoms that we have. We have freedom of religion. We have freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom to peacefully gather and protest. Yes, these are freedoms that we hold dear. We have so many freedoms that we enjoy in this country. You want to get married or not? That's your freedom to do so. You're free to have children or not. You're free to get a job or not. You're free to go anywhere you want or not. Yes, even with these pandemic restrictions, we still enjoy a lot of freedom in this country. But it's ironic that many of the freedoms that we enjoy actually show our captivity. In this country, you are free to own a gun, and then you are free to go walk into a public building and start shooting. You're free to buy drugs to help with pain management, and then you are free to get addicted to them. You are free to enter in a relationship of some kind, and then you are free to physically, verbally, or emotionally abuse that relationship. And yes, here in this country, we're free to have faith. We can believe in God, but we're also free to believe in any God we want, not even the one true God. You see, we may live in the land of the free, and yet as we look out on this land, we see so much captivity. Freedom and captivity, that's what's going on in this text from Mark 1. Jesus and his new disciple buddies walk into the synagogue in Capernaum, and Jesus does his thing. He starts teaching, and the people are amazed. But then Jesus is confronted by a man with an unclean spirit. Now, before we go on, we have to wonder, why did Mark use these words? I mean, it's obvious this was a demon. That's probably what we're used to. This man was possessed by a demon. But Mark uses these words, unclean spirit. Why? Well, two things. The first thing is that Mark actually says this man was in an unclean spirit. He was under the influence and under the control of the spirit completely and totally. It had him by the teeth and would not let him go. But the second thing is that he's described as having an unclean spirit. And Mark's not talking about, you know, dirt or filth here. He's talking about ritual uncleanness among the people. You see, this man was an outcast already. He was a pariah. He was cut off from his own people, cut off from God, supposedly, and all the blessings that he wanted to bestow. And so Jesus' teaching had provoked this unclean spirit. What was this teaching that had this spirit so riled up? Well, it was nothing more than what Jesus had been saying from the beginning. The time is at hand. The kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe the good news. And the spirit was trying to silence Jesus and his teaching of grace and mercy. But this little exchange between Jesus and the unclean spirit actually shows that this man was not the only one captive. No, the people in the synagogue were captive as well. They were captive to another teaching, a teaching that denied their own uncleanness, and therefore they denied their desperate need for the Holy One of God that was standing right there in front of them, that the unclean spirit clearly knew, but they did not. And like it or not, you and I are in that same captivity. What does it look like? What does this captivity look like? Well, we're captive to sin. As St. Paul puts it in Romans chapter 7, the very thing I don't want to do, I keep on doing. And the thing I want to avoid, the thing I want to do, I don't do it. Wretched man that I am, who will free me from this body of death? We're captive to sin. And therefore, we're captive to guilt and shame. And this is more than just some kind of psychological phenomenon. These are the accusations of the devil himself. He's just standing there with his finger pointing right at you, saying, look at you. Look at what a failure you are. Look how disappointing you are. So much potential, and oh, you can't even make it that. And that's that guilt, that's that shame. It's just bubbling beneath the surface. Captive to that. We're captive to fear. The fear of living in this sinful, fallen world. We're captive to the fear of those that try to control us and those that just seem out of control. We're afraid. And yes, we are captive to death itself. All of us are going to go through it. Wages of sin is death. That's what we heard this morning. We're going to go through that door one day, all of us. But probably the greatest captivity that you and I are in is truly believing that we can set ourselves free from all of this. Yeah, believing that we can stop sinning if we just try hard enough. That we can stop feeling guilty and ashamed if we just say these words, you know what, it's not that bad, is it? That we can stop all the evil in the world with more rules, more laws, more regulations. That we can stop death in its tracks with, you know, just another treatment, just another surgery, just another pill. And yet all of this striving, all of this doing that we engage in to try and purge the uncleanness in ourselves, in our world, in our lives, well, that just makes us even more captive to worry, to pride, and to exhaustion. Because we can't free ourselves. But that's when Jesus does something about it. So he's confronted with this unclean spirit. Jesus isn't having it. He says, be silent and come out of him. And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. Jesus set the man free. But he didn't do it with rituals or incantations. He didn't hold a crucifix in front of him. No. He set him free through the authoritative, all-powerful word that he spoke. And it is this new teaching that sets the captives free in the synagogue, because it reveals that Jesus, the Holy One of God, he alone can set you free through his word. You know, it kind of reminded me of a recent episode that Melissa and I watched of the hit TV show, This Is Us. And it was an episode entitled Birth Mother. And it was all focused on one of the main characters. His name is Randall Pearson. And in this episode, him and his wife had journeyed down to rural New Orleans because he had found out that his birth mother, who he thought had died the day he was born, and that's why he was adopted, had actually lived and had just died a few years ago from cancer. He never knew her. And he went down there to find out and to process and to grieve. And everything was just weighing on his shoulders. His entire journey of his life that he had been trying to discover meaning, purpose, and it just was causing anxiety and guilt. And so there's at one point in the episode that he does what he heard his mother used to do when she was feeling the same thing. There was a lake by her house that she would go into the water and she would scream at the top of her lungs and be set free. So he does this one night. He goes to her house, goes into the lake, and it is there that he has a vision of his birth mother. And she says, "Why won't you let go of all of your pain?" And he simply says, "I don't know how." And so she tells him, "Let go." And he cries out. He cries out with this loud voice. He screams at the top of his lungs. But it is then the next moment that his mother's hands reach out and caress his face. And she simply says, "I love you." And it is at that moment that Randall is set free. And I looked at Melissa and I said, "You know what? It's kind of like baptism. You're in the water and you hear this all-powerful word and you're set free." You see, this is the good news that Jesus brings to you and me, that you have been set free through Jesus and his all-powerful word. You have been set free from sin because Jesus says this to you: "I took it away at the cross and the empty tomb." You have been set free. You have been set free from the accusations of the devil because Jesus says this to you: "You're no longer his slaves. You are now children of God." You have been set free from fear of this sinful fallen world because Jesus promises, "Even though you will have tribulation, take heart, I have overcome the world." You have even been set free from death because Jesus speaks this word over you: "Whoever lives and believes in me, they will never die." You see, when you are baptized, when water and word is applied to you, when you hear the good news of Jesus and everything that he does for you, when you receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ in the bread and the wine, can you hear the unclean spirits crying out as Jesus sets you free? Because in each instance, Jesus is speaking these words to you: I love you. You have been set free. And this is true freedom, brothers and sisters in Christ. Because this freedom has nothing to do with how well you're doing, how you're feeling, how good or bad your circumstances are. It is completely and totally dependent on the Holy One of God Himself. What good news we get to receive, and what good news we then get to share with those who are captive. And maybe you know those who are captive. Captive to their own sin, captive to their own guilt and shame, captive to their own fear of living in this fallen world. Yes, captive to death, but especially captive to thinking that they can or have to set themselves free. But you get to speak the same word that Jesus spoke in Capernaum, that Jesus spoke to you in your baptism, what Jesus speaks through your pastors, through your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, that Jesus speaks over his table. You get to say the same words to them. Jesus forgives your sin. Jesus casts out your guilt and shame. Jesus, he has overcome all evil. Jesus has given you eternal life. Yes, Jesus loves you. I know, it's hard to believe sometimes, we who live in the land of the free, that we need this freedom. Well, we're all captive to sin. And that's why the good news is that only Jesus and his all-powerful word can truly set the captives free. Amen.